another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am Constance Arnold, your most gracious host of the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. And, of course, I am broadcasting live tonight with just a little touch of Southern flavor from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. And I would just like to take this opportunity to welcome all of my listeners from all over the world, from South Africa, from Portugal, from Canada, all over the Caribbean. I love the Caribbean and, of course, wonderful sunny California. I'm so grateful that you've joined me today, and you should really be excited because guess what? The Spirit of God has attracted you to the show today, and I believe that God will download into your life today just what you need. Isn't that always exciting? Well, how have you been? Are you excited about your journey? Have you had a great week? And are you grateful for what's happening in your life? I know that the answer to all four of those questions, I believe, is definitely yes. Well, I've had a very interesting week, and I'm slowly getting my voice back, and I'm really grateful. I received so many emails from all of you from all over the world, so thank you for your prayers and your concern. And, you know, prayer is a very powerful force. My mentor from Africa said that prayer is the most powerful force in this world. And certainly this week we needed that in my family. This week my sister found out that she's going to have chemotherapy over a period of 2 months. And so, of course, all of us were a little shocked by that, but you know, the great lesson that I'm learning is that because I've been taking the time on a daily basis to spend time with God, that time has given me strength, faith, and to believe that my sister is going to be fine. So it's sort of like making deposits in the spirit, and when you need the strength and when you need the faith, you just go there and you withdraw from those deposits that are on the inside of you. So as a family, we're coming together, and I'm going to ask that you pray for my sister for a speedy recovery for her. Her name is Vallie, V-A-L-L-I-E, and it will mean so much to me and her to know that people all over the world are praying to get for her. And you know, there is such power in agreement and in coming together because guess what? We are all one. Well, I am so excited about today's show. I have a couple of questions for you guys. How many of you need to lose weight? Let me see your hands. How many of you have tried every diet, but it seems that you just cannot lose those extra 10 pounds? And how many of you would say that you are an emotional eater? That means you eat when you're happy, you eat when you're sad, you just eat, but you realize that it is really impacting your health. Well, I want you to stay tuned because I have a lady all the way from Australia who's going to be sharing with us some great tips about losing weight, how to use the law of attraction to release weight, how to change our thinking and believing. And we're going to be talking about losing weight from a different perspective. So let's listen to these quick commercials, and I will be right back.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com.
Hello, I am Constance Arnold, your success coach. It is the beginning of 2012, and are you ready for change? Just imagine starting your new business or working in a career that you truly love or possibly attracting your soulmate. With my 25 years of experience, coupled with your eagerness to do the work, you can create immediate, outrageous results. We can partner together to begin creating unlimited possibilities in your life. So visit my website today at fulfillingyourpurpose.com and take a look at the varied coaching packages custom designed to fit your very lifestyle. Remember, you are worth the investment.
Hello, this is Jules Johnson, founder of the Law of Attraction Radio Network. We here at LOA Radio Network have decided not to follow the trend of subscriptions to cover operating costs, but to walk our talk in having it remain a free service, open to all and excluding none. If you enjoy our broadcasts, we hope you will donate to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Your support will allow us to continue to bring you messages of hope and personal empowerment. Go to LOA Radio Network and click the donation button. This is the universal law, giving back to our source of spiritual nourishment. When we do this, something changes from within, and from that day forward, we find abundance returns to us tenfold. Thank you for being part of our family of kindred spirits and helping us to continue to serve you and to serve the world.
Well, I hope you enjoyed those commercials. And, you know, once again, I just want to reiterate about my coaching, about my great book that you can just go online, fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and download it. And I have so many of you purchasing my MP3 affirmations. Those are really great. I listen to them every night. So go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com and just take a look at the many tools that I have designed just with you in mind. Well, are you ready? Well, my very special guest tonight, all the way from Australia, is Miss Sally Asher. And Sally is the author of Losing It in France. She has a very remarkable story, and I'm going to let her share that. Sally is a health science, a lecturer, and she's a coach. And she has some great information to share with us about how we can become more healthy, how we can release that weight permanently, and how we can use spirituality and the Law of Attraction to do that. So, Sally, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you, Constance. I'm really delighted to be here, and I'm so excited to share my story with everyone out there and to really help people turn their health and their life around.
Well, Sally, I love your wonderful accent. Between my southern accent and your Australian accent, we're going to have a great time tonight.
Exactly. It's quite exotic, isn't it?
Well, tell our listeners a little bit about who you are, and then we're going to get started with this wonderful book, Losing It in France.
Sure. Well, I am an Australian. I grew up in Australia. I moved to America when I was 15 with my family and went to school there for about a year, then came back to Australia and then finished school here and then moved to France. So lived with a French family, which is why I wrote the book. But then I did a health science degree, so I'm a health scientist. I'm also a wife and a mother. And basically now I help people to release the weight and to live healthier, more fulfilling lives.
So let's get started, because you know that obesity is an epidemic in the U.S. I don't know how it is globally, but really everybody is really looking at how can I lose more weight. And I understand that the dieting industry is a $1 billion industry. So, Sally, what in the world did you write your book, Losing It in France?
Yes, thanks, Constance. Well, I wrote the book Losing It in France because before I moved to France to live with a French family in Paris, I struggled with my weight and yo-yo dieting for at least 15 years. And you know what I found was that dieting as a solution actually became part of my problem, because here's the thing, dieting is focused on negativity. It's focused on lack, deprivation, almost punishment, and then guilt. And so that wasn't working for me. And when I moved to France, I started to observe how my French family eat and then imitate them. And what I noticed was that they only ate when they were hungry. They sat down to the table and ate mindfully, and they stopped when they were satisfied. But really, they ate what they wanted at the mealtime. So I quit dieting and started to do the same. And I released over 25 pounds in 3 months, and I've kept that off now for over 10 years since moving back to Australia. And so I really wrote the book to share my weight loss story and to share the lessons with people who are going through the same challenges with yo-yo dieting and diets that just don't work for them. And I really wanted to explain how living in France changed my relationship with food.
You know, when I was visiting Paris and I was also visiting the French Riviera, I noticed that everybody was skinny, but they were eating so much. So let's talk about how do the French eat and what is their thinking around food? And what did you learn that helped you to release 25 pounds and you've kept it off for 10 years?
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, you see the French, they eat beautiful, sumptuous, exquisite food. And, you know, there's pastries, there's bread, there's chocolate, there's, you know, wine. But the thing is, Constance, is that they use food, you know, for fuel and for pleasure, but not as a coping mechanism. So they may sit down to a beautiful meal, but they'll eat it slowly. They'll eat because their body needs more fuel, and they'll stop when they're no longer hungry. So they won't eat to the point of being stuffed or you know, overly uncomfortably full, but they eat just the right amount to feel satisfied, and then they go about their lives. And they're not thinking about food. They're not grazing all day. They're not sort of mindlessly eating all day. It is a structured mealtime, but within that context of hunger and satisfaction, they're able to eat good quality food that really satisfies them, whether it's a small piece of camembert or, you know, a steak or whatever it is. They eat, you know, with balance, moderation and variety. And I think that that was the real lesson for me, because I was always thinking, oh, I have to give up bread, I have to give up cheese, I have to give up chocolate. And then that resistance actually creates force, just like in physics. The more you try to resist something, the more you try to forbid or illegalize foods, the more you want them. So by giving myself sort of permission to eat what I really loved, I lost the desire to overeat. And I guess that's the key, is I learned not to overeat, and I lost the desire to overeat because I was tuned into my stomach. And, you know, I didn't want to feel uncomfortable. I wanted to stay in the pleasure zone with eating, which is what they do.
And so basically what you're saying is that the French only eat when they're hungry, and they stop when they are satisfied, not when they're full,
exactly,
but when they're satisfied.
That's right. And there's a difference between satisfied, full and stuffed. There's a real difference. And until you learn to sort of tune into that whisper of satiety and to respect that, then you keep overeating because overeating feels normal. Maybe you were forced to finish everything on your plate when you were a child. Maybe you were told never to waste food if you ate out. So at restaurants, we're being overserved. So if you're conditioned not to waste food, then you're going to finish the whole lot, and it's too much.
And you talked about food as fuel, and that means that it's kind of like when we put gasoline in our car, that's to help us get from point A to point Z. That is difficult for a lot of people, because a lot of people go to food for comfort.
Exactly. And, you know, that was my problem too, is that I just thought food was the answer to everything. And then when I realized, well, it was the Frenchman, he said to me, you know, why do you keep needing to eat? You eat too often, too fast and too much. And I didn't realize that it was my natural reflex when I felt anxious or bored or a little sad. I'd go, oh, well, at least I can have some cookies or, you know, a donut or something. And that just, you know, that was part of my problem. And so I needed to put food back into its proper perspective and just start using it for what it was it's only ever been intended for, which is to fuel physiological hunger, because it can never solve our other problems or our needs. And there's more effective ways to take care of your needs, other needs, rather than eating.
Okay, so you talked about mindfulness. So how does our thinking affect our weight loss?
Exactly. So, you know, mindfulness and that law of attraction is very important, I feel, because your thoughts and beliefs do create a self-fulfilling prophecy. So you really create your reality through the power of your thoughts. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, gee, I'm overweight, I'm destined to be this weight and unhealthy, and I just will never be slim and healthy, then you're actually creating that self-fulfilling prophecy. What I found about the French is that they don't believe that overweight has to be part of their fate. They don't believe that when they get older, it's natural to put on weight. No, they see themselves in their mind's eye as slim, active, vibrant, healthy people who eat what they love with balance and moderation, but they don't overeat. They don't eat more than they need. And so they're naturally active because it feels good to move your body. Exercise, you know, feels good. We were meant to move. And, you know, just seeing yourself as that vibrant person, but using food to fuel a vibrant life, that's how you know, they see themselves. And that's what I really thought, because my grandmother was, you know, overweight and obese. She fed me as sort of like overfed me, and I just thought, maybe when I was struggling with my weight, I thought maybe I'm just not meant to be thin, and I'm going to just be always struggling, and it just wasn't the case. I really had to change my mindset.
Well, you talked about mindless eating, and just prior to the show, we talked yesterday, and I realized how many times when I'm eating in the past, that my mind is not there. I might be looking at television or texting or talking on the phone. So we need to be mindful of what we're eating and when we're eating, because that's what the French do. Is that correct?
Exactly. So, you know, mindless eating is sort of a phenomenon, because we live in such a fast-paced world that everyone's multitasking, including, you know, eating while driving, eating while at the desk working, eating while watching television or talking on the phone or in front of the computer. But the thing is, you can't focus on two things at once and be satisfied with your eating. And also, like, it's mindful eating also includes sitting down and eating without distractions, but also, as I mentioned to you, it's about bringing your mind back to your body, because you can be sitting there eating, but if your mind is a million miles away, back at the office or worrying about what happened 5 years ago or what's going to happen in your future, you're not actually you're not in the present moment with the food, connecting with the food. And so you might finish a whole plate of food, but feel somehow strangely unsatisfied. So as I said, it's really important to bring your mind back to your body and focus on your stomach and the food and your stomach, and just really taste every, you know, flavor and aroma and texture, and thoroughly taste your food and just connect with it, because that's what's going to lead to eating less and being satisfied.
So we need to connect with our food. And, you know, I noticed that when I was in France, that dining was just a big deal. People actually sat, they talked, they laughed. And I would see families dining for 2 to 3 hours, and that was so amazing to me. So actually being present, being in the moment with your food, and actually sitting down, I don't know very many people that do that, is very important.
Exactly. You know, it's renowned that in France, you know, they take mealtime seriously. And in the south of France, actually everything closes up for 2 hours.
So, it sure does.
Yeah, and which is wonderful, because you can go home and you can have a proper meal and sit down with family and linger over it, and really, you know, even have a little lay down too, you know, a nap, and then go back to work and carry on with your day. But they really prioritize eating and meal times, And they want to eat good food, you know, so they shop at the market and they buy all the beautiful fresh seasonal produce. And, you know, it is a priority, whereas I think that in Australia, America and other parts of the world, it's just a second thought that's sort of slotted into our busy schedules.
Right.
And somehow we feel sort of unsatisfied.
So, Sally, you talked about only eating when you're hungry and stopping when you're full. So how can you, when you have a delicious chocolate chip cookie in your hand and you know you're full, but you want to finish that cookie, how can we change that and actually realize that, okay, I need to stop here because if I want to eat that cookie, I can always eat it later?
Exactly. That's one of the things I struggled with was when I couldn't stop at one cookie, and now I can I used to be able to not have anything in the house because I just basically didn't trust myself. But, you know, when you're dieting, you don't trust yourself. Dieting, the message there is that, you know, you're out of control. You know, you can't be trusted around food. And so when I actually quit dieting and started to make peace with food, I found that I was actually allowed, able to have it there and not overeat it or turn to it when I wasn't hungry. So basically, when it comes to cookies, you know, I always, my philosophy is have a meal first, and then the cookie, you're not meant to make a meal out of cookies. You know, you're meant to have some sort of a balanced meal, and then the cookie is actually a palate pleaser at the end.
Right.
Now, when you're struggling with stopping, say you have your meal and you know you're full and you want the cookie and then you want more. Well, what I like to do is to plan to move on to a pleasurable activity after the eating. So I say, okay, I'm going to sit down and enjoy my meal. I'm going to have a cookie or two for dessert. And then I'm going to stop and get out and do something fun and go for a walk or go call a friend or, you know, go and watch a movie or do something. But go and have a bubble bath, but move on to something as equally as pleasurable. And then if you're struggling with stopping, you sort of know that there's something. A lot of the times I find people don't want to stop because it feels good to eat and it's
right.
Yummy food.
And they're trying to meet an emotional need. And I know for myself, I'll stop and pray and say, God, help me. Because spiritually, I think that it's so important, and we're going to talk about that later on, to really factor God or spirit in. And so, you know, you talked about stopping and only eating when you're hungry. So what about affirmations? Should listeners be affirming or really speaking? Because I'm just a big proponent and a big believer that whatever you say about your life and your body comes to pass. I know people say, oh my God, I'm just getting fatter and fatter. Or if I just look at a piece of cake, I gain weight. Talk about affirmations and do they help with weight loss?
Yes, affirmations are so important, Constance, because what we tell ourselves, as I said, becomes our reality. So, you know, affirmations are short, positive statements about something that you would like to attract. So some examples of affirmations for weight loss may be, you know, I only eat what I need, or I'm getting thinner every day. So not focusing on, you know, I'm getting fatter every day. I'm getting thinner every day. Or I choose to eat healthful foods that make me feel good. Or I eat like a thin person. Because if you imagine how a thin person eats, you imagine that they just eat just the right amount and then they stop. They never overeat. So that's, in my mind's eye, that's how a thin person eats. And also I treat my body with love and kindness, because the most important thing is that you feel good. Now, eating to the point of being stuffed doesn't feel good. In fact, that's the equivalent of pure body abuse. So when you affirm that you treat your body with love and kindness and you eat, you know, like a thin and healthy person, then you're sort of attracting that behavior into your life.
You know, that's so true. And I think that, once again, I always say, Sally, it's really an inside job. You've got to go in. And
yes.
I think you and I talked, and we talked about the why do you want to release weight. And I think that self-love is really, really – self-love and nurturing yourself is really important when you're in the process of only eating when you're hungry and then stopping when you're satisfied or full.
That's right, because that is natural eating. That's respecting the wisdom of the body, because we're all born with this wisdom. Babies eat like this. They eat when they're hungry and they stop when they're satisfied. You can't overfeed a baby. The problem is when all these we learn to disconnect from our body cues and our body wisdom through, you know, various influences, and this is when people get confused. Then they don't trust their body wisdom and they start dieting unrealistic, unsustainable diets that basically take away all the foods you love. Feels like suffering and punishment. And then you feel deprived, and then that feeling of deprivation leads to guilt and ultimately overeating. So it's a vicious cycle, and I'm really big on quitting dieting and getting back in touch with that hunger and satisfaction.
And, you know, let's touch on dieting, Sally, because dieting, just saying that word, it has a negative connotation with it. And I think you said that when you're dieting, you're focusing in on lack, what you can't have, what you're deprived of. And so no wonder dieting doesn't work, because you're focusing in on lack. You're focusing in on the negative. And so how can we change our thinking so that it will work for us and not against us when it comes to releasing weight?
Yeah, so you really want to think about all the things you can eat, and focus on eating to honor your health and your taste buds, and eating according to your body's needs, and really trust that, you know, when you're hungry, you need to honor that, and when you're satisfied, you need to honor that. Now, people, I find, they can master the waiting for hunger, because there's an audible growl. It's easy to understand. What they struggle with is when to stop eating. And I find that when people feel like they lack things in their life, like love or time or money, or they feel like they're lacking, they sort of overeat to sort of compensate for that feelings of lack in other areas of their life. So it's really important to feel abundant. And you know, dieting has a feeling of scarcity, that you can't really get what you want or need. And I think it's more important to feel abundant and to say there's plenty of food out there. Food's not leaving the planet. I don't need to overeat it now, because I know it will be there when I'm hungry again and when I need it. So I think that this whole dieting mentality and this scarcity and this mindset of focusing on lack and deprivation and guilt and punishment is just not working for people. And so I think that if you feel abundant, and if you feel that there's enough in the world, that the universe takes care of your needs, then there's no reason then to go and overeat.
But Sally, what about someone who may be going through a very difficult time emotionally? Maybe they've just experienced a breakup, or maybe they are really going through a difficult time financially. It is so tempting to go to food and get just a pint of ice cream and eat that ice cream. And even if you've noticed in the movies, whenever a girl breaks up with the guy, what's the first thing she does? She goes and gets some food and sits in her bed and eats. So what about all of my emotional eaters out there who feel like they have a void in their lives? They may be single and alone. What would you say to them?
Yes, and look, it's very common, because we live in a society where media, they encourage us to eat for reward, for love, for all these reasons. But food can never satisfy those needs. It's misusing food, because food can never solve the problem other than hunger. So there are other ways when you feel sad, depressed, or, you know, things have gone on that are terrible for you. There are other ways to find comfort and nurture yourself without using food. And, you know, it might be reaching out to, you know, people, connecting, you know, crying on someone's shoulder, or nurturing yourself in a way that feels good, like taking a bubble bath, you know, seeing a movie, or just having a hobby or a passion, or just finding, you know, your spirituality and nurturing your soul. And, you know, praying and meditating and sitting with the feeling, because we all go through a multitude of feelings every day. And if we eat in response to uncomfortable feelings, there is no end to our eating. So we need to put food back into its proper perspective, which is, you know, as fuel and occasional pleasure. And then we need to take care of our emotional needs in more effective ways than eating. Because the problem is, when you eat because you're sad or depressed or lonely or bored, it might be a temporary fix and it feels good temporarily. But then once the eating is over, you still are left with that original boredom or sadness or you know, anxiousness or whatever. So if you go straight to the source, meaning I feel anxious because I've got a big report on tomorrow, and deal with, you know, calming down about that rather than eating your way through it, then you're actually getting to the root cause and not using a Band-Aid, which is the food.
You know, that's so true. And one of the main principles that I want to share with our listeners is that going to food for comfort is an idol.
Yes.
We need to either go
yes.
to God.
It's
an yep. idol. It's a false god, and it will fail you every time.
Exactly.
Because once you do that, if you could just get this point, once you do that, you're going to be more depressed, feel more yep. guilty. Why did I overeat? So just yep. remember that food cannot comfort you. You have
no.
to go to God. You have to go to friends. You have to identify exactly what's going on in your life and begin to correct that.
That's right.
That's great insight.
Yeah, and that's when, once I realized that, in fact, the allure of going to food had lost all of its gloss, because I realized it wasn't working. And in fact, it was doubling my problems, because when I went, every time I went to food, I ended up then guilty, depressed, you know, with a weight problem, you know, and it fed itself. And once I realized that I don't need to go to food, in fact, when I identify my root, you know, cause of how I'm feeling that's wanting me to eat when I'm not hungry, and I deal with it directly, it's liberating, because you get stronger every time. Every time you do that and you deal with the direct, deal with that feeling directly, then you get stronger, and you know, you can have a more satisfying relationship with food, because you eat because, you know, for pleasure and fuel, but not as a coping mechanism.
Right. So, Sally, for some of my listeners out there who are interested in losing weight, I want to say releasing weight, because if
yes.
you lose something, you can find it. But if you release it, I believe spiritually that it can diminish and leave your life like it has you for 10 years. So to
yes.
lose weight successfully, what's the one thing that we need to believe or know?
Yes, well, I think the one thing that you need to believe is you must know and feel in your heart that you can lose weight, and you will. Because at the most basic level, it's about energy in, energy out. Now, if you're, you know, taking in too much and not, you know, being active or whatever, it's an imbalance. So once you believe that you can lose weight, it really has to be a mental click for people. The switch has to go, you know, come on, that it is possible. Because if you just look at, say, people like, for example, who have had gastric banding and their stomach has been reduced, they lose weight, you know, and that's sort of like, you can lose weight as long as you start reducing the amount you eat, because often we're, you know, they're overweight because we're taking in too much food. And it's so easy to overeat these days. We're overserved in restaurants, you know. And one of the big things for me was when I went to France was just how little the portions were. But, you know, when you adjust and you start eating less, you adjust your, you reset your hunger stat. So the less you eat, the less you need, until you get to that right sort of amount that feels right for you, that arrive, you know, helps you arrive at your healthy weight. And then you just, that's how much you need to feel good. And so you can lose weight. And I think, you know, just believing that you can is so important.
I think the example that you gave about people who've had gastric bypass, because our stomachs are, I think their stomachs are really small, and so they can't eat very much. I know a couple of people, and they can only eat maybe 5 or 6 tablespoons, and then they're full. And if they overeat, they really get sick. So, Sally, how large are our stomachs?
Yes, well, you know, at rest, our stomachs are actually about the size of our fist. So I believe it only takes a fistful or two, probably 2 fistfuls of food at one sitting in order to feel satisfied. The problem is that our stomachs will stretch and stretch and stretch, and it allows us to overeat, which is why people can get so big. But if you have that mental picture, and, you know, I think it's really important to, we've got a lot of portion distortion going on in our, you know, in Australia and America too. If you can readjust that your perception of the proper portion for, you know, to feel satisfied, and then wait for hunger, because you've got to actually wait for hunger. That means your body needs more fuel, so your stomach's emptied out. Then eat about 2 fistfuls of food, and I like to do that 3 times a day. Like, it's just, that's what the French do. It's sort of breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It works socially too. It just fits in usually with people's lifestyles. But if you, and that's basically, you know, how I get people to get back to their healthy weight.
And so are you saying we have to wait until we're hungry? So if we wake up and we're not hungry at breakfast time, should we eat or should we not eat?
Well, you know, I think you should wait for hunger. Now, that you might wake up, people have all different schedules. I personally wake up at, say, 5 o'clock in the morning. I'll have a tea and a coffee, but I won't actually eat until 8 o'clock. So I do a bit of exercise and go for a walk and things like that. So I'm not actually really, my stomach doesn't start growling until 8 o'clock. So that's when I eat. And then, you know, because I've set my internal body clock, I sort of have regular meal times, and that's what works for me. But I always say, if you're not hungry for breakfast, don't eat it, but you probably will get hungry at, say, come 9, 10, 11, you know, and if it's possible for you to take a break at work and eat then that's what you should do, because, you know, there's no point eating if you're not actually hungry.
Well, you know, you talked about earlier about believing that we can lose weight. How important is visualization? I know in my own life, I guess last year I released 25 pounds, and I've always been a walker runner, but you know, it was just, I knew that my body was just not the best that it should be. And of course, I took this beautiful black dress and I hung it on my door, and I saw myself wearing that beautiful form-fitting dress, Sally. And right. That would many times keep me from overeating. So talk about creative visualization and how can people begin to use that with releasing weight.
Yes, I think creative visualization is such an amazing tool, and using your imagination. So daydream about how you will dress and walk and eat and move when you are at your ideal weight. And I like to use a vision board, so you can use a photo of you or a photo of someone that you aspire to be, you know, sort of weight-wise, or and really look at that every day and just see yourself as that. And my husband and I both did that, and we found that it was really effective. And by visualizing you at your perfect weight, you are sending out a powerful intention to the universe that you are ready to be that weight. And then it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And also, you need constant reinforcement and reminders of why you're doing it. So hanging the dress there is a fantastic way to remind yourself of, you know, that the pot of at the end of the rainbow. Sort
right.
of thing.
Well, you know, you're so right, because that dress really sent a signal out to the universe saying, this is the size that I want to be. this is how I'm going to look, and I'm going to be wearing you soon. So that was really goal setting and setting an intention. And you're so right. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I know one of my clients, I told her, I said, she used to call them fat clothes. I said, get those fat clothes out of your closet so that when you walk in there every day, I think they have a certain vibration level to them.
Yes, I agree. I think it's really important to, as you're losing weight, wear clothes that fit properly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't have the fat clothes and it's just once you're going down, just go the one way positive towards what you're going towards. So it's really important to feel good now, you know, so wear clothes today that make you feel fabulous, that fit properly, that look great, that you feel sensational in. That all affects your, you know, your confidence, your positivity, your self-esteem. And it's so important. It's taking care of yourself. It's, you know, extreme self-care is wanting to look the best and feel the best that you can.
Well, you know, French women, and I noticed that when I was in Paris, they seem to be happy and have so much laughter and really eat without guilt. But in America, we're just obsessed and sort of tortured with food. So, you know, every female that I talk to, we're talking about how you can lose weight and how this person is a size zero. So what would you say to listeners all over the world, especially women, about the difference between French and American women?
Yes, well, it's so true, Constance, that we live in a culture that's consumed by dieting. I mean, if you go into the supermarket, you'll see every glossy tabloid, something about somebody's body, and this one lost weight, she's lost too much weight, she's gained weight. It's all this body judgment, and I think that we have to stop comparing ourselves to the media images and just focus on being our personal best, the best version of ourselves. And eating, you know, when you stop dieting, you can sort of eating becomes about pleasure and satisfaction rather than guilt and fear. Because when I went to France, I was so consumed with the dieting mentality of what I'd so gotten used to, is that I thought, oh no, I can't have bread, I can't have cheese. And then when I saw these thin French people eating this, you know, and enjoying it and eating without guilt and just but stopping at just the right amount, it was sort of like a revelation to me. I thought, oh, well, you know, I can do that too. If they're doing that, let me try it. And knowing that you can eat what you love, and it sets you free. It really does. And so I think that that's the difference between French and American women, is that they don't have the same level of fear and guilt about eating. And they, you know, they want to take pleasure in food, but food is just food. You know, it's not an all-purpose medication.
And, you know, you talked about exercise, and I noticed when I was in France, once again, everybody rides bikes and they exercise. So how important is exercise? I know in America we have so many gyms and everybody goes to the Zumba classes, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think I shared on one of my shows, I was in the gym, and I think I was on the treadmill, and this lady next to me said, man, you really got to work hard, don't you? And I just noticed that there was so much fear emanating from her. So I believe that even when we exercise, it needs to be done in love and in faith. So how important is exercise?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, exercise is great for everyone. You know, our bodies were made to move, but I really think it needs to be fun for you, whatever that is, whether it's, you know, some people enjoy going to the gym and because they get motivated by seeing other people. Other people can't stand the gym. They never want to go near one. The French, you know, they move a lot. They don't necessarily go to the gym and spend, you know, hours there, but they will walk everywhere. You know, Paris especially is a very walkable city. So even when you're catching the metro, it's up and down flights of stairs, walking along, you know, long passageways, walking around Paris. It's such a pleasurable way to get exercise, and I'm big on walking. Even since coming home, you know, I go for a walk. We've got a dog, so I walk her twice a day, and walk. You know, where I live, if it's less than sort of a couple of miles, I'll always walk with the kids. And
right.
that sort of thing. So I don't actually go to the gym, although I do a bit of yoga at home, and a few sometimes I do a DVD, an exercise DVD. But like I don't, as a busy mum, you know, I don't have time to go to the gym. But, you know, whatever rocks your socks, like Zumba class is fantastic. I know
whatever rocks your socks, okay.
Yeah. Meaning whatever you enjoy, if you enjoy it and it's fun, you're more likely to stick with it and keep doing it. So, but having said that, I do think that exercise is great, but it's more about not overeating, because it's been shown that sort of it's 85% of what you eat and probably 15% about exercise. And I don't think that you can out-train a bad diet. So if you're overeating, overindulging, it's just the exercise can barely, you know, you got to exercise amazingly to sort of balance things out.
Well, if you just join me, I'm speaking with author Sally Asher, and we're talking about how we can begin to release that excess weight. And I think that when we hold on to weight, that it's a form of lack and fear, and that people aren't really walking in love. So how important is the foundation of self-care? I call it extreme self-care and self-love, and just acceptance of who we are in releasing weight.
Yes, I think it's really important, because, you know, good self-care or extreme self-care is the foundation, you know, of, well, self-love is the foundation of extreme self-care. So when you love yourself unconditionally, you actually want to take care of yourself because you value and you think that you're worth it. Now, when you don't think that you're worth, like, have you ever had, you know, someone who doesn't take care of their car or something because they don't value it?
Right.
And so they sort of trash it, you know. It's the same with our bodies. If we don't truly care about ourselves and our bodies, and if we don't truly accept our genetic blueprint, it's very hard then to treat it with value and care and really take good care of it. And I think that, you know, it's very hard for people to accept their bodies because of the media images of perfection, which, by the way, are all digitally enhanced. We look at those and we're just bombarded with those, especially women everywhere, and we say, but I'm not as perfect as her. But the reality is she's not perfect either. She's been digitally enhanced. So it feeds our insecurity and our lack of sort of esteem, because we think that, you know, we need to be this unattainable image, which is just not real. So I think that it's really important to accept that, you know, 5% of people are like the images we see in the media. The 95% of us, we've all got different shapes and bodies and genetics, and, you know, there's certain things you can change, but there's certain things you can't. Now, what I've found about French women is they're more accepting of all their flaws, you know, and they say they just enhance their best points, and they, you know, work with, you know, accepting everything and not trying to be perfect in that
right,
way.
Right, right. And, you know, I just have a philosophy. For years, Sally, I suffered from really low self-esteem, not really accepting myself, being very critical of myself. And so in my latter years, I've just begun to accept, to recognize, and just to love every facet of my body, just where I am. So for somebody who's out there who might be saying, oh, my goodness, Sally and Constance, I need to release 50 pounds or 100 pounds. How can I begin to really care and love for myself? Because when I look in the mirror, I really hate what I see. What would you say to that person?
Yes, it's so important, because a lot of people think, when I lose the weight, I'll be happy. When I lose the weight, I'll love myself. When I lose the weight, my life will really begin. But it actually, it's the wrong way of thinking about things. You have to love yourself now, today, in the present moment. And when you really love yourself and value yourself and know that you're worth taking excellent care of, you will take those steps and that behavior and those habits. and do what you, how you treat yourself, how you think that you will be when you're thin. So, you know, people think when I'm thin, when I lose this weight, I'm going to dress this way and I'm going to eat this way and I'm going to move this way and exercise this way. But that day never comes because they're always putting it off.
Right.
So you need to, you know, really say, today I feel healthy, vibrant, you know, I love my body and I'm going to treat it, you know, how, you know, with the utmost care and respect. And then that includes, you know, eating just the right amount, taking the time to make yourself a beautiful, fresh, healthy meal, going for a walk and getting some activity, and also getting time to reach out to people and connect with people, have relationships and feed your soul, have that spirituality, and also just in every respect, taking time to relax, having some me time and really, you know, prioritizing yourself. I think a lot of people who turn to food actually are too busy trying to please everyone else and they put themselves last on the list. And I think that when you actually put yourself right up the top and know that if you take great care of yourself, that's actually a gift to not only yourself but to everyone else in your life. Because when you're taking excellent care of yourself, you're actually better able to take care of the ones that you love as well.
Let's talk about God and factoring God in losing weight because, you know, I'm a Christian and there's a verse in the Bible that says that the very hairs on your head are numbered. And for me, that simply means that God is so intricately concerned about every facet of my life, even though those small, minute things. So what would you say to someone about factoring God in or making sure that they include spirituality in releasing weight? And how did you do that personally?
Yes, I think, look, spirituality and having faith, having belief in a higher purpose for your life and, you know, having that it's not all about you, that someone, there's someone up there looking after you and he doesn't want you to suffer. In fact, being overweight and being unhappy and depressed about it is an unnecessary form of suffering because he wants you to have faith in him and fill that void with him, with spirituality, not with food. Because I find that people who lack that spirituality or faith often turn to food because something's missing in their heart, something's void. It's like a big hole that they're trying to fill with food. But when you actually learn to connect with a higher power and to pray and to feel, have like confidence and faith that something, that you have a purpose in life and you've got, you know, like a higher sort of meaning,
right,
then you have less desire to need to turn to the food, if you know what
right.
I mean.
Right. And, you know, I always said that I'm eating for two. I'm eating for myself and my purpose. And if I have something bigger than myself, and I know for me personally, I know that in order for me to do everything that I'm called to do during this time in my life, I need to be fit. I need to be able to go through the airport, stand in long lines, stand up and train and speak. And so every time I put something in my mouth, I say, is this serving me? Is this bringing life to me? And you're so right. Sometimes I say, God, help me. I'm going to food. Comfort me. You know, and I have people that I reach out to and said, you know, I'm really looking in my refrigerator over and over again, and I'm not hungry. So I'm calling to reach out to you because obviously I might be feeling lonely or there's something on the inside of me that I need and I'm trying to go to food. There's a
yes.
void right now. And I really watched myself carefully doing this week because when I got the news about my sister, you know, that's,
yeah.
that was a very emotional time. But I really surrounded myself with a great support system. And so for listeners all over the world tonight, Sally was saying that you really need to distinguish between emotional hunger and just physical hunger.
That's right, because physical hunger is the cue from the stomach. Now, when we're looking inside the pantry and there's no cue from the stomach, there's no growl, then we know that we're looking for comfort in the wrong places. And if you can sit down and pray, sit down and meditate, sit down and have some quiet time, just lay down and, you know, just get in touch with your feelings and know that you deserve so much more than the comfort of food, and that there is a reason for our feelings. Our feelings are there to help us, send us messages. You know, are we anxious? Are we sad? Are we, you know, we feeling powerless over our lives? Our feelings, when we analyze them, are there to guide us through life, to help us, you know, stay on our right path. So when, you know how they say you got to trust your gut,
right,
and your intuition. Well, if you actually get in touch with that feeling and that gut instinct and that intuition, and you tune right into it rather than eat as a band-aid to cover it up, you can actually have a more deeper relationship with yourself and with God and with your deeper life. And so it's actually a much more fulfilling way to live. And and so that's why I think that having the feeding the soul, having spirituality, and also connectedness and physical affection with people, because sometimes, you know, when you turn to a tub of ice cream, what you really needed was someone to put their arms around you and say, is everything okay?
So true, so true. You know, Sally, you've just shared some powerful truths, and I'm sitting here thinking we're out of time, but one of the main ones was that, you know, that you just got to believe and just starting eating only when you're hungry and stopping when you're satisfied. So do you coach people all over the world on how they can begin to release weight?
Yes, I do. Thanks, Constance. I have an online weight loss coaching service, which I, you know, help people from all over the world, you know, quit dieting and start listening to their bodies and eating, you know, in an attuned way, and just teaching them, you know, what I learned over the years by living in France. And I also am a passionate home cook, so I share a lot of healthy recipes and do cooking videos, and I also give them a daily motivation video, and I answer unlimited questions for them. So I believe there's no one size fits all when it comes to weight loss program, and so I just like to focus on health and what their personal obstacles are, and incorporating, you know, healthy habits into their life, and the habits that people who stay naturally thin for life have, and they do unconsciously, maybe, you know, without thinking. I try to get them doing those like I've learned to do, and had to change, you know, a lifetime of sort of bad habits. And but I do believe it's possible, and I think that just learning the way and making it part of your life is the most fulfilling thing to do. And so I really try to share that with my clients.
So what is your website? How can people reach you? What is your contact information? And how can they get your wonderful book, Losing It in France?
Yes, well, for the book, I've actually got a website, which is www.losingitinfrance.com. That's for the book, and I blog regularly there, and I put lots of yummy recipes up there as well. But you can get the book on Amazon in the US, Canada, and UK, and it's also available in Australia. And with my coaching, I've got another website, which is www.sallyasher.com. That's A-S-H-E-R. And if you go there, you can sign up and get my free report on 5 secrets that slim people aren't able to tell you. And that's where I blog as well, and have my coaching program available for people. So it's $25 a month to cancel any time, and they get sent a weekly meal planner and shopping list, and also the daily video and unlimited questions to me. So it's really helpful for people, and just helping them to know foods are forbidden, nothing's off limits, but I try to help them just to eat, you know, in that natural way.
Sally, I am so glad that you and I connected. You are just a wealth of information, and And I think the approach that God has given you is so easy and simple. And I'm going to encourage people all over the world to really contact her. I just love your spirit. I love the way you flow. I love your energy. And I'm going to even contact you myself because you've just given some great info so that I can make sure that I stay on top of my game. So in closing, quickly, what would you like to say to people tonight?
Yes, thanks so much for those kind words, Constance, and I've really enjoyed talking with you. I love your show, and
I really
believe in that positivity, fulfilling your purpose, and the law of attraction. It's so powerful. And so I want to say tonight that, you know, to people listening out there, that it's just so important to take excellent care of yourself and to know that if you're suffering from, you know, struggling with weight and overeating and et cetera, there is a way out, there is hope, and there is a way to overcome it. And I know I've been there. I can definitely empathize with how you're feeling. You feel like you're stuck in a vicious circle, but there is a powerful alternative, and that is learning to eat in an attuned way, and I'd really love to help you to get through that.
Well, thank you so much, Sally. You've been just a powerful and wonderful guest. I want all of you to go to her websites and contact her for information and for coaching. Once again, I want to thank you for joining me tonight. You can go to my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Also, don't forget about the wonderful new shows on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. We have Marie Diamond, who was one of the great guests featured in the hit movie The Secret, and so many other new hosts, and they are really just broadcasting awesome shows. So I'm going to invite you to make sure you go and listen to some of their shows. And remember that I have some great tools that I've designed just with you in mind. I would love to coach with you. I coach people on all 7 continents. I'm going to say all 6 continents because I'm not coaching anybody from the North Pole and South Pole yet. But I'm so grateful for all of my coaching clients all over the world. Thank you for praying for my sister. Thank you for all of the wonderful emails. If you want to email me, you can email me at Constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Tell 3 of your friends about the show tonight. Once again, thank you for joining me. And remember this, God loves you and the best is yet to come.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.